Today, I'd like to talk about resurrection, the fourth item of the fivefold gospel. On the Easter Sunday, I believed you were inspired by the message on resurrection. I've been delivering the sermon series on the fivefold gospel, and today, it's time to explore resurrection. I want you to inscribe once again the concept of resurrection in your heart, remembering the Easter sermons. As I prepared this sermon, I remember a testimony introduced in the Venezuela mission report. It was about a three-year-old girl. After she was shocked by her mother's death a year ago, she could neither smile nor cry. She used to enjoy dancing to praise songs, but after her mother's death, she showed no emotion, not laughing or crying for a year. She, being shocked and dejected, her spirit was as good as dead. Her grandmother felt sorry for her and brought her before Pastor Zhang. Pastor Zhang earnestly prayed for her with a handkerchief. Then, at the moment, she burst out crying. Her spirit, which had been repressed and not moving at all, began to move so that she could show her emotions such as sorrow, joy, and excitement. After that, she attended another meeting where she joyfully danced with tambourine to a praise song. I think many of you watched that scene with tears. I also breathed a sigh of relief, shedding tears. I thought, if she had been left in that condition, she would be living without any hope, being almost as good as dead. I was thankful to Father God who touched and renewed her spirit and blessed her to live a healthy and hopeful life. As with this child, Father God heals, renews, and revives us. Even at the moment, He is among us, opens the door to our hearts, and heals and revives our spirit, which is hurt or as good as dead. Resurrection, which we will talk about today, refers to reviving from death. Resurrection is the fourth item of the fivefold gospel. As for mummy members, it has more significant meaning. Of course, resurrection means a lot to Christians in general. It is considered the fundamental of Christian faith, and the generation where this church originally belonged is based on the fourfold gospel, regeneration, sanctification, divine healing, and second coming. When it has been less than 2 years since this church was founded, God declared that we would set up a new denomination with the fivefold gospel by adding resurrection, and that the core of the fivefold gospel is resurrection. He added that resurrection confirms all what our Lord did and taught for 3 years, and that resurrection is the hope of all mankind and the completion of God's will. As we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 14, "And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is vain. Your faith is also vain." Resurrection is the most significant incident for us. Some may argue, "Don't you think our Lord's crucifixion is the most important?" That is correct. To set us free from the curse of the law, the wages of sin is death, He was hung on the cross and died. Through this righteous act, the mankind was forgiven of all sins, became righteous, and received salvation. But how could we believe in this fact? His resurrection serves as the evidence that convinces us that Jesus forgave us of our sins through His death, and we can be saved by faith in Him. Jesus died on the cross, shattered the authority of death, and rose from the dead. thereby completing the providence of salvation. If Jesus hadn't resurrected, would it be of any use to preach the gospel? Just saying, Jesus died for our sins, this alone wouldn't make the gospel perfect. Because He revived, the gospel was made complete. Because Jesus rose from the dead, the providence of salvation was completed. So the main point of the gospel proclaimed by the disciples was the Lord's resurrection. When they selected another disciple to replace Judas Iscariot, they said that he should be the one who had accompanied us all the time and who would become a witness of His resurrection. Acts chapter 4 verse 33 also reads, "And with great power the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon them all." Because He revived, the gospel was made complete. Because Jesus rose from the dead, the providence of salvation was completed. Jesus' resurrection demonstrates that He died for us while being sinless and that He overcame the power of death. Those who believe in this fact will be saved and resurrect, just as our Lord did. This is the completion of salvation and God's will. Thus, resurrection is the most essential part in our Christian faith and serves as one of the pillars of this church, and it bears such crucial meaning. Resurrection, which is reviving from death, is something hard to believe. From the Easter sermon, we heard that His resurrection is a historical fact and how crucial the faith of resurrection is to believers. Today, we will take a more academic approach to resurrection. This sermon is based on the church's doctrine and senior pastor's previous sermons on resurrection. First, we will go over the general meaning of resurrection. Second, we'll talk about spiritual resurrection and physical resurrection. Third, we'll delve into the resurrected body. Regarding resurrection, our church's doctrine states the following. We believe that all those who wholly believe in Jesus Christ will resurrect in the same glorious body as our Lord put on at the time of His resurrection. What is resurrection? Resurrection is defined as revival from death. In our daily lives, we often use this word. When something which has failed and had no hope of recovery takes an upturn and booms, we often use the word revival to describe that situation. For example, an athlete who's been in a slump begins to show outstanding performance again. The media often describe it as his or her revival, etc. But our Lord's resurrection wasn't just reviving from the state of being almost dead, but from being completely dead. Then, how could such a thing be possible? To help us understand resurrection, God embedded the evidences of resurrection in nature. In spring, trees which have been seemingly dead all through winter begin to bud and blossom. Seeds which have looked as if they were dead begin to sprout as well. While seeds themselves perish, new life begins from within. Cicadas live as a larva for over 10 years under the ground. But at some point, they come out of the ground and fly around, chirping loudly. Butterflies also live as a larva before they get wings and flutter here and there. So God planted His power and His divine nature into nature so that we can know it. The Old Testament also talks about resurrection. Although the word resurrection is not mentioned, the books of Daniel and Psalms remind us of faith in resurrection. In Daniel chapter 20, verses 1 through 3, we find, "Now at the time, Michael, the great prince who stands guard over the sons of your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress such as never occurred since there was a nation until that time. And that time, your people, everyone who is found written in the book, will be rescued. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake, these to everlasting life, but the others to disgrace and everlasting contempt. Those who have insight," it goes on and on, We also read in Psalm chapter 16, verses 9 and 10, "Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will dwell securely, for you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to undergo decay." But during the transition from the Old Testament time to the New, people were divided into Sadducees and Pharisees. The Sadducees, who claimed there was no resurrection, inquired Jesus about resurrection. As we find in Matthew chapter 22, there were seven brothers, and the first married and died without a child. To give birth to his offspring, his younger brother lived with his wife, but he also passed away. The same thing happened to all his brothers, to the seventh. And finally, the wife also died. They asked Jesus whose wife she would be at the time of resurrection. Jesus replied, "You are mistaken, not understanding the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. But regarding the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was spoken to you by God? I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He's not the God of the dead, but of the living." At this, the Sadducees were surprised and had no words with which to respond. Even to the Jewish who believed in God, resurrection, which is reviving from death and living forever, was something difficult to believe. But as our Lord became the first fruit of resurrection, we can believe that it did happen and hope that it will also happen to us in the future. His resurrection occurred strictly according to the spiritual law, which dictates the wages of sin is death. Namely, once we commit sins, we face death as a result. As Adam and Eve committed sin, they lost eternal life and were driven onto the earth according to this law. From this, death began. While they were sinless, they lived countless years without concerns for death in the Garden of Eden. Death cannot be applied when there's no sin. However, the enemy devil violated the spiritual law. It instigated evil people to kill Jesus, who was totally sinless. Knowing that Jesus came as the Savior of mankind, it plotted to kill him anyhow to interfere with his ministry of salvation. But its evil scheme led them to their defeat. As said in Acts chapter 2, verse 24, "But God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in its power. Because death has no power at all over Jesus, he resurrected in 3 days after death." Jesus shattered the power of death and resurrected, thereby becoming the Savior. As a result, whoever accepts him as the Savior and believes the fact that God raised him from the dead can reach salvation. The providence of the cross was completed by his resurrection. Second, let us talk about spiritual resurrection and physical resurrection. In regard to resurrection, our church's doctrine states the following. Resurrection refers to reviving from death, and it is categorized into spiritual resurrection and physical resurrection. As we believe in Jesus Christ's death and his resurrection, our spirits, which have been dead because of sins, revive. This is spiritual resurrection. And physical resurrection refers to the revival of believers' bodies at Jesus Christ's return and the revival of sinners' bodies after the millennium kingdom. Namely, spiritual resurrection refers to the revival of our dead spirits, which happens after we accept the Lord and receive the Holy Spirit. It signifies regeneration, the first item of the fivefold gospel. Last week, while Pastor Esther Chung reminded us that our body is the temple of God, She introduced a testimony of a person who couldn't believe in God even after attending church for many years. At some point, in answer to her wife's earnest prayer, at some point, he talked with someone about our body being the temple of God. Thereafter, he experienced the Holy Spirit coming into his heart. Tears uncontrollably ran down his face. Everything changed from then on. Naturally, he stopped smoking. He used to hate it when Christians greeted each other, "Hallelujah," but he began to greet others the same way. He began to have faith and feel God's grace. The Holy Spirit came into his heart. Just attending church dozens of years doesn't make this happen. Only when the Holy Spirit comes into our heart can we experience such spiritual resurrection. Consequently, we have spiritual faith by which we truly believe. The Holy Spirit coming into our heart is the blessing resulting from our Lord's resurrection. Before Jesus completed the providence of salvation through His resurrection, the Spirit couldn't come into us. Genesis chapter 6 verse 3 says, "My Spirit shall not strive with man forever, because he also is flesh." We heard that sinners die upon seeing God. Then how could possibly the Spirit of God come into the hearts of sinners? But after our Lord completed the providence of salvation through His resurrection, whoever repented of his sins and accepted Jesus Christ could receive the Holy Spirit. Thus, through the Spirit dwelling in us, we can firmly believe Him to be our Savior, call God Father, cast off sins, and recover the lost image of God by the help of the Holy Spirit. By completing the providence of salvation through resurrection, the Lord made it possible for the Holy Spirit to come into us and revive the dead spirits. Those who experience such spiritual resurrection will partake in physical resurrection in the future. Then, what is physical resurrection? It refers to the revival of one's dead body. Aside from our Lord's resurrection, we find another example where one's dead body revived. When Jesus commanded Lazarus, who had been dead for 4 days, he came out from the tomb with his hands and feet bound with wrappings and his face wrapped around with a cloth. Through this incident, many Jews came to believe in Jesus. Revival of a dead person happens by wondrous power, which is possible only by God. But Lazarus' revival from death wasn't perfect resurrection. The true meaning of resurrection isn't just reviving from death. It refers to reviving from complete death and then living forever without dying. Just as the Bible says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this imperishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality." This is physical resurrection, which will take place after spiritual resurrection. This physical resurrection can be categorized into first resurrection and the second resurrection. According to the church's doctrine, physical resurrection refers to the revival of believers' dead bodies at Christ's return and the revival of the sinners' bodies after the millennial kingdom. As we read in Acts chapter 24, verse 15, "Having a hope in God, which these men cherish themselves, that there shall be certainly a resurrection of both the righteous and the wicked." The revival of the righteous is the first resurrection, while that of the wicked is the second. Revelation chapter, by the first resurrection, the believers' bodies which have been dead recovered to imperishable ones. Believers who had spiritual resurrection earlier have physical resurrection. Those who are already dead and buried also resurrect, putting on imperishable bodies at our Lord's return in the air. As their body is combined with their spirits and soul, they put on a perfect spiritual form composed of spirit, soul, and body. Those who welcome our Lord being alive on earth are lifted up, putting on an imperishable body in an instant. But aside from these two cases, there are also people who have physical resurrection. As specified in the verse just mentioned, physical resurrection occurs instantly at the time our Lord's coming. And then we will have the 7-year wedding banquet while the earth faces the 7-year tribulation. During the tribulation, there are people who die a martyr, although there are extremely few. God also grants physical resurrection to those participating in this cleaning salvation. To sum it all up, the revival of believers' bodies is the first resurrection. Then, what is the second resurrection? Simply put, it happens later in time than the first one. Although the word second is not mentioned in the Bible, to distinguish it from the previous resurrection, it is usually called the second resurrection. After the Great Tribulation and the Millennium Kingdom are over, the second resurrection takes place right before the Great Judgment. It's the revival of bodies of sinners who died without faith in the Lord. At this time, all sinners also put on a body that doesn't perish and face the judgment. Those who have been tormented in the lower grave as a soul without body will put on a body to face the judgment. This is called physical resurrection of sinners. Although the body they take on is not holy or glorious, it doesn't perish. That's why this is called physical resurrection. The doctrine of this church categorizes the resurrection as follows. The first resurrection refers to rising of Jesus Christ from the dead, the revival of believers' bodies at Christ's return, and the revival of martyrs during the Great Tribulation. The second resurrection signifies the revival of all sinners right before the Great Judgment. To sum it up, resurrection is categorized into spiritual resurrection by which one's dead spirit revives and physical resurrection by which one's dead body comes back alive and doesn't perish forever. Again, physical resurrection is categorized into the first resurrection and the second one. Usually, in talking about the glory and hope of resurrection, we leave out the second resurrection because their resurrection isn't for eternal life. They face death again. After the judgment, they face the second death or the eternal punishment. It said in Revelation chapter 20, verse 6, "Blessed and holy is the one who has part in the first resurrection. Over these, the second death has no power, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with Him for 1,000 years. The glory of resurrection pertains to those who have the first resurrection. Third, let's go over what resurrected body is. The church's doctrine calls it the glorious body. It states the following. We believe that all believers of Jesus Christ were resurrected in a glorious body like the one our Lord Jesus put on at the time of His resurrection. While the human body is perishable, frail, and fleshly, the resurrected body transcends space and time and sex and is not subject to diseases, aging, or death. It is a glorious and everlasting body which is the same as the one Jesus Christ took on at the time of His resurrection. As written in today's passage, it is imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away. On several occasions, the Lord showed Himself to His disciples in His resurrected body. He showed Himself to His 12 disciples and to over 500 brothers. He also showed up at the Sea of Tiberias. Yet, His disciples couldn't recognize Him right away because His radiance and appearance was different from what it was like before. Much to our regret, some Christians who lack understanding of the resurrected body claim that we cannot trust the testimonies of the women and the disciples who couldn't recognize Jesus. His resurrected body was different from the flesh He wore during His ministry. His appearance and radiance differed as well. That's why Mary Magdalene and His disciples who met Him on the way to Emmaus couldn't recognize Him at once. Although the resurrected body differs from the earthly body, it has bones and flesh, unlike the spiritual body. As said in Luke chapter 24, verse 39, "See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." Our Lord was in a body with bones and flesh. Although His body wasn't a spiritual one, it was imperishable, unlike the physical body. Moreover, He appeared to His disciples without walking through the door, which indicates that He could move around, transcending space and time. He ate fish and bread in their presence. Our Lord showed them His resurrected body so that His disciples could develop firm hope of resurrection. Although the resurrected body is glorious, unlike the physical one, it's not that we go to heaven in that body. This is the body we'll be clothed in from Christ's return until the great judgment. After that judgment, we will put on the heavenly body and live in heaven forever. Being in a resurrected body, we will face the judgment of rewards and receive clothing and accessories from Father God who pays us back according to our deeds. Then, we will be clothed with rewards, glory, and authority. In addition, the life from our bodies will become whole. This is the heavenly body. As the Bible says, there is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For star differs from star in glory, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown a perishable body, it is raised an imperishable body. Rather than clothing us in that heavenly body right away, God lets us go through the transition in a resurrected body. In each space, God dresses us in the most appropriate form. Because the second heaven where the seven-year banquet takes place and the third heaven are different in density and the flow of time, God clothes us in the most appropriate form. For example, people in the alpine regions have greater lung capacity. So when there's a race or a match scheduled to take place in such a region, the athletes go through the time of getting used to its environment. Just as there are physical conditions that fit a specific environment, we are required to put on the most appropriate spiritual form according to the space we are in. For this reason, God clothes us in the most appropriate form depending on the spiritual space we are in. We know that there exists spiritual spaces of different dimensions. Seeing that clouds come out of one place and swirl back into it, we confirm that the door to heaven is opened. The Bible also describes opening and closing of the door to heaven. In describing Noah's flood, Genesis chapter 8 verses 1 and 2 say, "But God remembered Noah and all the beasts and all the cattle that were with him in the ark, and God caused a wind to pass over the earth, and the water subsided. Also the fountains of deep and the floodgates of the sky were closed, and the rain from the sky was restrained." The opening of the door to heaven happened at our Lord's ascension as well, as we find in Acts chapter 1 verses 9 and 10. "And after he had said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight, and as they were gazing intently into the sky." God allowed many disciples to witness our Lord being lifted up to heaven. I want you to visualize the scene. The disciples must have spent amazing 40 days with the Lord, who ate with them and spoke to them after his resurrection. But more amazing thing began to unfold. The Lord was lifted up to heaven before their own eyes. They must have gazed at it in complete astonishment. At the same time, they must have been so overwhelmed that they just stood still on the spot, looking on the sky where the Lord was no longer to be seen. Probably, they could have thought of the spiritual space beyond. Despite the advance of science, people cannot grasp the spiritual world. They cannot figure out or comprehend the worlds of a different dimension. Thanks to the advance of science, people began to recognize the existence of the world not observable by our eyes. People's knowledge of this universe is limited to what we can observe, and they have no idea what exists beyond that. Some claim that before the word, before the word universe, the adjective observable is omitted. So the correct word should be observable universe. With the advance of science, people have come up with theories that other universes might exist. But previously, they believed that heaven and earth visible to our eyes were everything. So they couldn't comprehend at all the existence of a space with a different dimension. Of course, such theories alone don't make people figure out the spiritual world. By the way, at the time of our Lord's ascension, what do you think people thought of the existence of another heaven or space? Let me briefly share with you something interesting which I heard from a lecture back when I was in a seminary. A Greek philosopher, Aristotle, was also a scientist who believed in geocentrism. These days, we all know that the Earth revolves around the sun. But until about 1500 AD, when Copernicus asserted heliocentrism, it had been believed as the absolute truth that all planets orbited the Earth and that the Earth was at the center of the universe. Later on, the advance of astronomical technology proved that the heliocentrism was true. But 2,000 years ago, in the days when people couldn't observe the universe with a telescope, what do you think people's view on heaven and the universe was? Aristotle's understanding of the universe was as follows. The planets and the sun are fixed on a celestial sphere rotating around the Earth. The Earth we are living on is not a perfect place. While heaven, where planets and stars are located, is a perfect place. While all objects fall down to the ground, the planets which are in heaven don't, because they are in a world different from this Earth. Because it's a perfect place, the stars don't fall down or collide with one another. It's pretty interesting that Aristotle believed heaven to be a perfect place because he thought of it as the spiritual world. I was stunned to hear his idea about the universe. Actually, before I learned about the spiritual realm from senior pastor, even nowadays, people with good hearts, as they look up to heaven, they acknowledge God, existence of God. Back in those days, Aristotle looked at the heaven and thought there might be thought of heaven as the spiritual world. Before I learned about the spiritual realm from senior pastor, before I witnessed the forming and disappearing of the clouds, works that are impossible by man, and biblical miracles, I could never imagine or understand the spiritual realm. Even while attending church, I could not say I truly believed in heaven before. Only after I witnessed God's amazing power manifested by senior pastor, I was able to grasp the spiritual realm and believe in heaven. How about you? Before seeing amazing works at this church, did you know or believe in the existence of a spiritual realm? Still, there are people in search of the traces of the Garden of Eden, believing that they are somewhere in the Middle East. But we are all aware that the garden belongs to a different heaven. From this fact alone, we can only be thankful that Father God allowed us to allowed us such deep and profound words of life. Let me sum up today's message on the resurrection. Resurrection is reviving from complete death and then living forever without death. I reminded you that resurrection is the core of Christian faith, that and that because our Lord who's... I also reminded you that because our Lord who was sinless couldn't be bound by death, He resurrected. And reminded you that His resurrection is the completion of salvation and God's will. Resurrection is categorized into spiritual resurrection and physical resurrection. Again, physical resurrection is divided into two kinds. The first resurrection, which concerns the righteous, and the second resurrection, which relates to unbelievers. We will put on the resurrected body, which has bones and flesh, but it's not like the physical body. I told you that it is the most appropriate form we can take on until the great judgment. In concluding message, let us talk about how we should live in faith of resurrection. God allowed the Lord's disciples to witness His resurrection and spend time with Him so that they could have more hope for resurrection. Through His resurrection, God made us born again and offered us hope for heaven. God's children who have true hope that they will receive eternal inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away can overcome the world by faith. Those who have faith in resurrection believe in God who will pay them back according to their deeds. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, we can do it all for God's glory. If we have true faith in resurrection, we not only believe in our Lord's resurrection, but believe we will come forth as resurrection like our Lord. Thus, we can live a victorious life with that hope of resurrection, even while living on earth. Let me remind you of Apostle Paul's confession filled with the assurance of resurrection. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but through our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Just as our Lord went through death before His resurrection, for us to win victory with faith and resurrection, we have to endure agony. Believing that our trials will turn out to be blessings, we say we are in trials of blessing. With His love, Father God helps us have hope for heaven and live for our everlasting inheritance. This is a blessing. Brothers and sisters, going through our trials, we've been heartbroken and grieved. Some of you were discouraged and almost stumbled in faith. But like the little girl I introduced at the beginning of this sermon, I believe that the grace of God who heals, renews, and perfects us will descend upon us, mommy members. Just as that little child who could show no emotion began to joyfully dance in praise, I believe that we will also come forth as fruit of resurrection. I sincerely hope that the following verse will be fulfilled during this week. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local centers, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and the internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes and the deaf come to hear and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters. and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things, and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, "I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.